the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, we are turning our attention to the weekend's football semi-finals in the women's football and the men's football, and delighted to say that Louise Galvin is with us. Good morning, Louise.
Morning, Owen. How's things?
Very well, thanks. So let's kick things off with Mayo against Tip. It is on Sunday. It is the biggest chance we have this weekend of an upset. Stephen Rochford this week has said that Tipperary have an over-dependence on Sweeney and Quinlivan up front. Is stopping those two men what the chances of an upset would boil down to on Sunday?
Yeah, I think if you look back at the scoring charts, for the last two games, they've certainly been the primary score getters for Tip. So it is hugely important for Tip, if they're going to get a win, that they get a little bit more of a contribution from play from the likes of the Kennedys. Brian Fox, I know he came along and scored a massive score against Limerick in that Munster semi-final. But it's hugely important that they're getting a little bit of help, because there's no way Mayo are going to let Quinlivan and Sweeney completely dictate this game and Tip come on the other side of a win. Having said that, it is up to Mayo to try and stop them as well, because they're two incredible footballers. They're enjoying their football. We've seen the Munster final how even the little smiles after the game and or after the point kicking of Quinlivan, and saw Sweeney after the game. I thought it was one of the most composed interviews of a captain, considering he just captained his team to winning a provincial final for the first time in 85 years, and the whole emotion of Bloody Sunday and that. But it was a wonderfully composed interview. So it just shows these guys, they're pretty special footballers. But absolutely, on one hand, Mayo need to stop them. On the other hand, Tip need to look at giving them a bit more support on the scoring chart, certainly.
That's the thing about their temperament. It does seem that these are the type of players who aren't going to be fazed by the fact that they were in an All-Ireland semi-final. I know that the lack of a crowd will probably take that out of it anyway, but the sense of occasion doesn't seem like it's going to get under the skin of these players.
Yeah, and the lack of the crowd is an interesting one, Owen, because I actually see James Horn mentioned this week that he thinks that'll suit Mayo as well. So it seems out of all the teams probably this weekend, Dublin are probably the only ones that are not bothered by a crowd being there or not. And it's something Kate Kirby's well-renowned sports psychologist, she mentioned this week, that it could be one of the reasons why this is like the year of the upset for Gaelic games. And even, you know, someone like Waterford, a county in hurling, who get into an All-Ireland hurling final, where again, the crowd, the support they'd have would normally be going mad. Even the whole lockdown, lack of flags, lack of, you know, press nights, I think it's suiting these underdog teams. So certainly with Tip, I think they're a bunch of lads. They nearly look like they enjoy playing ball. They kind of play to the standard they're at. There's a lot of talking about them obviously being Division 3 team, but again, they're, you know, they stepped up to the plate when they're playing Cork in Munster final day. They just seem to be kind of like an old school team, where maybe that long 11-month season, 10-month intercount season doesn't maybe particularly suit them to keep their eye on the ball. But this shorter 7-8 week season is actually the type of structure that suits them a lot better, because they certainly have the footballers. They have the talent. We've seen them, a lot of these guys, win a minor All-Irelands in 2011 under David Power. There's just a lot going right for them at the moment.
That point that James Horn is making about performance anxiety, like, that is something that we've seen replicated, as you mentioned there, the underdog in a multitude of sports. Like, the crazy results we saw at the start of this season in the Premier League probably is down to a lot to do with the fact that there was no crowds in these stadiums. And, like, do you subscribe to the school of thought that Mayo definitely were affected over the last few years, especially in 16 and 17, by a full Croke Park, the sense in the stadium that, hold on a minute, we're actually going to beat Dublin, and that kind of got under them a little bit and it did hold them back? Do you feel that that's out of the picture now, if they do manage to get over the line this weekend?
Yeah, it's something I didn't think coming into this game would affect Mayo would be a positive for Mayo as well as Tipperary. It was only James Horn's comments that kind of highlighted that. And he nearly described the almost sense of a groan of anxiety when Andy Moran, I think, scored a goal against Dublin, which, you know, is incredible. I think you've normally, that's an opportunity for your supporters to get behind you. But it was nearly a sense of, here we go again. We have this false sense of hope. Which, look, I don't know. I mean, if that's a bit of performance anxiety for the coach as well. It's a difficult one. I don't think it even just comes down to the game, the crowd. I think it's the whole society that we're living in at the moment, because even if you took the crowd out of it, but we were normally out socialising, meeting people, you know, crowds outside training, press nights, I think all that has been taken away. And that's what's helping the underdogs. It's not just even the game day itself. But
there's no hype, Louise. Like, it's a weird one, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, it is strange. And it is disappointing because when you look back at it, like, let's say these guys, the tip guys, the cam guys, if they don't progress beyond the semi-final and if they don't reach an All-Ireland semi-final again for another number of years, the positive memories they would have had would have been the build-up to the game, because the game itself if it does end in defeat, might not, obviously won't hold those positive memories, but they'll have the build-up, the excitement, the chatting to the club men, the family, all those different things that they're not having now. But at the same time, it might be something that actually helps them get over the line and have them prepare for an All-Ireland final, which is way more important at the end of the day. I know as a competitive athlete, I prefer to maximise my chance of getting into the final or getting that win rather than enjoy the build-up and, having a, close defeat.
You assume, Louise, that it's going to be a more competitive game than the match over on the other side, obviously. But at the same time, if you look at what Mayo have done so far, right, beating Leitrim, beating a bang average on the day, Roscommon, and then obviously Galway by a point. Are we talking Mayo up too much?
I think there's still a lot of question marks over this Mayo team. What's going right from the moment is, I suppose, the form of players like Killeen O'Connor, Paddy Durkin, who are just super, super footballers and have performed on the big stage. And you can put your house in them that they're going to put in a performance again as well on Sunday. But when you look at the 21 players I think they used against Dublin last year, 9 are starting this weekend. So they have a lot of unproven players at this level as well. Now, having said that, that could be a sign of they've looked at their county championship and they're going, look, we're picking on form, we're blending a bit of youth and experience. And again, in a shortened championship, maybe that's form is a bit more important than previous years where experience building up to semi-final, the whole pressure that goes with that, maybe a bit of experience can trump a young form player. So maybe it's a smarter decision. But yeah, there's a lot of players that are still unproven at that at this level. At the same time, I mean, you can't be but excited at the sight of an Owen McLaughlin and Oisín Gallen rushing out of defence. Like the speed endurance of these guys and the incessant, I suppose, want and desire of them to attack at all times mean that Tipperary, they can't just sit back either. They really need to go and make sure the ball is being stuck down the other end of the field. I think one way they might do that is to obviously go a bit long on their kickouts, because I think like there was a stat in the Times this week about the amount of turnovers that Mayo are getting, and it's actually starting with their full forward line. Their full forward line have more turnovers than any other line. So if Tip are going to go short, which they haven't done, I mean, they've a lot of ball winners around the middle of the field, ably assisted obviously by Colin O'Riordan coming in on top of Casey and O'Brien. I think they'll look to go long, because at least then if they turn over the ball, if they win the midfield battle, turn over the ball a little bit further up into the lines, they can get a little bit of protection back to try and stem the tide of these on-rushing Mayo defenders who just want to attack and attack at pace.
That piece by Eamon Donoghue is definitely worth digging out, illustrating how Mayo are almost like Liverpool in the sense that their attackers are so dangerous without the ball that they turn you over and it's a score, obviously. The thing, though, is that this kind of plays into a Tipperary advantage, that if there's one team still alive in the championship who perhaps are actually better going long from their kickout, it is Tipperary. In that middle third, in midfield in particular, they're very strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they more than capable of beat Cork in that area of the field as well. And then automatically that gives you your supply to your marquee inside forwards. So certainly that might influence how Mayo play the game, because if you have Conor Loftus, who by all accounts only started playing midfield for Cross Marina this year in the club championship, if you have Conor Loftus and he's struggling there along with Matthew Ryan, who's a brilliant midfielder, then you're starting to bring out Aidan O'Shea, which suddenly might change the the point of their attack and the whole they've obviously had him in full forward all year. So are you now taking away from what you're working on just to make sure you secure primary possession against a very strong midfield for Tipperary? So there's a lot to play out. I mean, if they are struggling to win that ball, I mean, it's either you bring in a Tom Parsons or a Seamus Shea to try and win that midfield ball, or you start to pull out Nain O'Shea, which obviously it all has a knock-on effect somewhere else up the field. Having said that, if Mayo do get a bit of a stranglehold in this game, if they do start creating those turnovers, certainly around the middle third, and they just start to bomb forward, then it's going to be dangerous for Tipperary to try and stem that tide, because they probably have a bit more of a spread of scoring than Tip do, relying on the likes of Sweeney and Quinlivan.
On the point of the turnovers, Louise, Stephen Rochford was saying in the Examiner today that Mayo have been doing some basketball work, and obviously you've one of the many sports that you played to an incredibly high level yourself, so you know a thing or two about that. But he's talking about like shutting them down that way and obviously turning them up blind alleys and stuff like that. It's something that I'm sure Tip will be conscious of, but how do you plan or how do you plot to get around a press like that, even though you might be expecting it?
Yeah, like I think it's obviously not the first team not the first county to turn to basketball or another sport, which is a sign of just constantly looking for those extra 1 or 2 percentages. But yeah, look, you're trying to get off the tram lines. I mean, I think Dublin are the primary example of this. Like, they'll try and run you down the tram line and make it look like you have an avenue in front of you and use the sideline as an extra defender. And you could run 40, 50 yards, but actually you're in no better position. So I think try and get off the tram lines, try and get into the middle of the field, try and give yourself two sides of attacks is really important. And then angles is the other way that I suppose a lot of basketball teams will defend. They'll try and use like a three-point system where your defender always has an eye on the ball and an eye on that you're always in a triangle between the player you're marking and where the ball is. So it's like the best way to, I suppose, attack that is get in off the tram lines, get yourself to have two sides of attack, and then just try and move the ball as much as possible. So the ball is the focal point of the attack. If you don't want to carry the ball 40, 50 yards because it might look like you're making advancements, but actually you're cutting off your opportunity. And I think that's another reason why maybe Aidan O'Shea being inside can be a positive thing for Mayo, because he's a phenomenal footballer. But I think for years, Aidan carried the ball and actually slowed down the Mayo attack because he was so strong at it. He became a focal point for opposition defenders to try and come and have a hop off him. Yeah, he might get past two or three players, but actually I think he was just slowing down the attack and allowing the rest of the defence to go back and cut off options. And if he didn't get a free in possession, oftentimes it was a case of recycling and starting their attack again. So you just need to keep the ball moving. I think one player, unless it's opened up in front of you, one player carrying, unless it's an incredible speed, at a Jack McCaffrey or a Paddy Durkin, actually getting ahead of players. If you're on a tram line and you're just carrying the ball along, or you're just in the middle of the field, but hopping off players, two or three players, and slowing the game down, it's actually not that advantageous for your team the way other teams are defending these days.
You ultimately think of Mayo?
You would expect it. But I do think it's going to be closer than the other semi-final. And I think, again, how matchups are important. So, like, whether it's Chris Barrett picking up Conor Sweeney, maybe a bit of a height advantage there. Where Quinlivan will go, will he drift in and out a little bit? The matchups are going to be hugely important, particularly for those two players. But, you know, if it's, again, coming out of that third quarter, it's a bit of a basketball analogy, but that's the way we have with the water breaks. If Tip are there, thereabouts, God, I certainly wouldn't be writing them off.
No, it should be a cracker. The other one then, Dublin against Cavan tomorrow night in Croke Park, Louise. One of the questions I would have about this Dublin team is how on earth they managed to keep bringing such a high level of performance given their favourites tag. How it just seems so effortless for them to reach an unbelievably high level every single time of asking. There isn't a blemish on the record every time they come out and they show up against whether it's Meath, whether it's any other team in Leinster, whether it's a quarter-finalist that comes from Ulster, or in this year, a semi-finalist that's coming from Ulster. Can you pin down why that is?
Oh, they're just super impressive. But what they seem to have created is this incredible culture of, number one, it's the team. It's not about who scores, it's about the team getting over the line. So you'll see so many of their goals, like it's just someone coming across and they could shoot, they'll just lay it off, hand pass, and Dean Rock or whoever will slip it in. Within that then though, they have incredible competition for places, but that competition isn't based off you're going to come off the bench and score 1-2 even as an inside forward. Whatever way they've done their analysis, whatever way they have it, they have players itching to get on the field to play, but the goals are very much team goal orientated, whether you're a cornerback or a corner forward. And that's what I always think about Dublin. They're not selfish. They've clutch players who know, yeah, I'm a score getter. I'm going to go and put my head down and go for goal. The likes of Kevin McManaman over the years coming on, he knows his role is bomb ahead. But it's always with a team focus and a team outlook. They don't have selfish players. So whatever, however they have created that culture, whether it started even before Jim Gavin or when he first came in, I think that's the most important thing, because it keeps the competition within the squad and it keeps everyone focused on the same goal. Like, guys aren't coming on just to score, because that's not going to be enough, or just to stop their man. That's not going to be enough to keep them even within the 26 probably for the next day. It's just, it's so team oriented. And again, since the Leinster final, we've barely heard a word out of camp. Like, they just do all their talking on the field. It's so boring nearly how effortlessly professional they are. You could not dig up a bit of dirt. You couldn't dig up, you know, a bit of a comment saying, oh, this guy said this here, now can we take an angle on that? They're just such consummate professionals. And then they have a few Rolls Royce of footballers that, you know, they're generationally, they're just superb. Like the likes of Brian Fenton, you could just watch him all day gliding all over the field. Stephen Cluxton, again, like meet press up, and then he just picks out Conor Cahan for a few of those kickouts down the centre of the field. It's just boring, isn't it? But also, it's so admirable.
I'd be keen to get your take on, if you were Desi Farrell, what sort of team you'd pick this weekend. We might just focus on the forwards this morning. The six forwards they started against Meath were Scully, Kilkenny, Bugler, Small, that's Paddy Small, obviously, Conor Callaghan and Dean Rock. Mannion, Costello, Howard came off the bench. Are you sticking with the same that went against Meath? As you say, there's a very specific plan they have for every team they come up against, and it's not necessarily just squad depth or a pecking order. It's a very specific six that they always pick. Are you sticking with that, or do Mannion, Costello, Howard, does one or a couple of those three come in?
But I'm not sure Costello will be rewarded for having to put their delegates and their admin administrators through a CCC or whatever it is. So I'm not sure he's going to be rewarded for that. But of all of those, I actually think that Howard probably might have the biggest, push for a starting spot, purely because, again, Cavan are particularly strong around that kind of middle eight. And I know, again, Owen, you mentioned like the six forwards, but as we know, it's so not a six forward, six backs game. So completely depends on what way. Like, if you have Scully he came slightly after Howard, but actually has become that Howard role, or that typical almost Paul Flynn role of like the modern day half forward who's tracking back, coming forward, everything going through them, and gets on the odd score at the end of the pitch as well. But I think because of Howard, like, he's an incredible aerial leap. He actually played a lot really in midfield, I feel, last year, particularly in that final and final replay. I think if they're struggling to win primary possession around that middle half, and I mean struggling in Dublin terms, which usually isn't a massive struggle either, you could see Brian Howard maybe staking a claim to push to start maybe ahead of Lahiff or ahead of a Bugler, if they're thinking that they need a bit more size rather than pure attacking threat. Having said that, like you say, it's not that Bugler has done anything wrong. If he was to be dropped, it's a horses for courses sort of a situation.
Is there, if you talk about this in a realistic sense, what is the best outcome for Cavan this weekend in your view?
Probably if they can stay within 5 or 6 points. I think that'd be huge, huge for them. Having said that, look, they came in being told if they stayed within 5 or 6 points of Donegal that it wouldn't be a bad outcome either. And like Mickey Graham, he obviously has the bit of a Midas touch of having these kind of underdog teams and just instilling such incredible belief for them. The other thing is, if they go behind, they're not going to drop the heads out of Meath or maybe some of the other teams that are used to playing Dublin. And they haven't played Dublin in so long to have that sense of, oh, we're 5 or 6 points behind now. It's done. It's dead in the water. They might have seen it, obviously, with other squads, but they're the sort of team that dig in. So I don't see, if they do tend to go down early in the game, I don't see it necessarily turning into game over, 10, 12, 15 point drubbing. I think they'll stick with it because they're incredibly dogged. But it is very difficult to see where they're going to win this game. At the same time, I keep telling myself, sometime this Dublin team are going to lose. They're going to have to lose. And maybe an All-Ireland semi-final in the current structure without a quarter-final is the place it's going to happen, because I don't think anyone in Leinster has the belief or the players to topple them. And I think if you get them in an All-Ireland final stage, they're just so incredibly focused that if you are going to catch them on the hop or catch them on one of those days where just a few key players aren't up to scratch, aren't up to song, maybe they're like, I do think Dublin's rear guard aren't as strong as their middle third and their forwards. And we've seen last year, obviously, the likes of Johnny Cooper can get him into a bit of trouble with ref. Like, if he can get something, a black card early, I see the likes of John Small maybe going to Garrod McKiernan if one or two of them pick up a bit of a black card. The fact that that's now more a sin bin rather than a replacement might give Cavan a little bit of a chance. And they're the type of team, like, they've suffered two black cards in that Ulster final. Contentious enough ones, and they still dug it out. So if we can get, you know, Brian Fenton off guard, off song, Kieran Kilkenny pulling a few shots wide, maybe a black card or two, maybe then it could be Cavan's day. Because if it's going to happen, I think it's going to be semi-final. Yeah. Or out of Leinster, but before a final.
Yeah, it's a good shout. It's a good shout. It'll be, I think what we're all hoping for is maybe something that's a single point difference between the teams, which would be a success given everything we've seen in recent months. Let's talk about Cork against Galway. It's a 1:30 throw-in on Sunday. The big theme around this has been the moving of the fixture from the Gaelic grounds in Limerick to Parnell Park because of the Limerick hurlers training in the Gaelic grounds. What's your take on that whole situation?
My first take on is that I hate this with ladies sports. The first thing we talk about is something nothing to do with the game. And Jeannie Mac, when that day ends, I'll be a happy woman. But seeing as you asked me about it anyway, and you're right. If you ask most people, most of the general sports followers, this is what they'll know about that game. Yeah. Look, Limerick on the ground. This is, if you go back to the original, the original problems, ladies sport, camogie, ladies football, we don't own ground. So we're always relying on, I suppose, the generosity of the GA. And Limerick, they said, they clearly stated, I mean, who are we to come up against a John Kiley and say, no, we actually want that ground. Look, they're doing what they feel they need to do. And then there's a question about lights, which meant it went to Dublin. But it does seem a bit ridiculous that there wasn't another... that there wasn't another way of solving this than bringing Galway and Cork, who would have a lot of players come from Bantry and Skibbin, these places, all the way up to Parnell Park, which means they're then in the middle of a pandemic coming the night before because it's a 1:30 throw-in. It is a little bit ridiculous, but this is part of the problem. I see last night there's been talk of the WGPA and the GPA joining up forces, and it might lead to some of these issues not arising, hopefully, in the future. But to get onto the game itself, I think going to be a good game. Mm. We saw a cracker against Dublin Armagh. I hope you saw it last weekend. It was a brilliant game of football. I hope this weekend will live up to it as well. I think Galway have not hit the heights of probably their All-Ireland semi-final last year was when they last put in a particularly good performance. I think the final last year was a bit of a disaster, notwithstanding the weather conditions, and Galway didn't particularly perform either, which is a pity because Dublin didn't perform and it was definitely there for the taking. But they have won their two group games just by a point, very tight group with Monaghan and Tipperary. And in both those games, they were ahead and let the squad back into it. Contrast that with Cork, hadn't had any games before. They played a Kerry team who were high in confidence after beating Cavan, played them down in Tralee, and a very professional performance. Again, they get ahead and then they just close the game out. What Cork have at the moment as well is an incredible goal getter in Saoirse Noonan, who also ended up playing with Cork City and the called into the Women's National squad over the course of the last few months. And they just have an incredible ability to grind out these results. They still have a lot of links to kind of their to very dominant squads, particularly the likes of Roisin Feeney and the Sullivan sisters. So unless Galway can really discover a little bit of form, I think this is going to be a Cork win.
The last meeting in Championship was an absolute mauling in favour of Cork. 2017, they scored 6 goals against Galway in that particular fixture. How much have Galway come on in the intervening 3 years, and are they a proper All-Ireland contender in your view, or is it very hard to look every single year past Cork and Dublin at this point?
Yeah, I think even in 2017, we were coming really to the... Cork were in a slight transition stage, but they were still in a strong position than they probably have been the last 2 years. I think with Galway, what happened last year, they got to the All-Ireland semi-final, they played Mayo, who they play obviously annually, and they have a real rival and battle with them, and they come out on top. But I think when they then come to the likes of playing at Dublin and at Cork, they're probably just a little bit off the mark, because that All-Ireland final last year there was there for the taking. It was a difficult game, difficult conditions, but neither team, it was such a disappointment, because I think ladies football has come on leaps and bounds, and some of the skill level and the conditioning is off the charts, and it wasn't really reflected in the All-Ireland final last year. So Galway would have been disappointed themselves, the performance, but even, you know, coming into the league games this year, the round robin games, they just haven't hit the same heights. Having said that, they're 60 minutes away from getting back into an All-Ireland final that they feel that had left a lot behind them last year. So I wouldn't write them off. It's difficult this year. I mean, ladies football, they didn't end up finishing the league, and they all just played two game round robin games. So again, we're going off a little bit of wondering where teams are at, what form they have. Galway as well are missing Roisin Leonard, who's out injured, who would be a real talismanic forward for them. So on the balance of things, I'd have to go with Cork, because again, seeing them play that game down in Tralee, they still just have that ability to just grind games out if they get their nose ahead. They're just a really kind of professional outfit from that point of view. And I think they have enough stability at the back and firepower up front to trouble Galway. I also think this whole fixture thing, you know, Evie Fitzgerald, I think he'll use it a little bit to add a little bit of fire to his squad. And they'll certainly be eyeing up Dublin that final.
Yeah, he's not a happy man this week. Louise Galvin, great stuff as ever. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Thanks, guys.
Right, it is 29 minutes past 8 on this Friday morning, and it is a massive weekend in the 2020 GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Championships. We're at the semi-final stage, and to celebrate, Super Value, as part of their Support Where You're From campaign, have given us some great prizes to give away. We want you to dig out your favourite ticket stub, match programme jersey, photo with your hero, any GAA-related item, basically, you've been dying to tell the country about. Make a 20-second video explaining its significance. Get them into us on any OTB social channel you like, or on WhatsApp to 0879 180 180. We'll choose a winner every Friday during the championship. Each weekly winner lands a €200 voucher for a Super Value near you, and also the chance to star in Super Value's Super Fan series, a fly-on-the-wall peek inside the homes of dedicated supporters around the country. Super Value are proud sponsors of the GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Championships. See youtube.com/SuperValueIreland for more details. It is time for our quick picks. Will O'Callaghan, Tommy Rooney, good morning.
Morning, lads. How are things?
Right, let's just get this out of the way. Let's see our scores. Will O'Callaghan, as ever, top of the table. Pains me to say it. 30 correct picks, Will. I hope you're happy. Fair play. Adrian, 28 and 12. Myself, 27 and 13. Tommy, 26 and 14. It means basically, Tommy, you can't catch Will. Well, sorry, you can if you get all your four correct, because there are only four remaining games between hurling and football this year. So this is it. Time is running out on you, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm not saying to change the rules here, Owen, but I think we need to bring a bit of jeopardy into it when it comes to the All-Ireland final. So just keep a bit of interest going. Well, I'm not sure I can let you set the table for the All-Ireland finals. Fair enough, you may walk it. It's been a fine line all year long. Personally, I still think I've had some of the best calls, but I've been picking favourites along the way. Fair enough, I've had some bad calls as well, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I guess the temptation is here now at the moment, Tommy, is to actually just back favourites across the remaining four fixtures that we have and just see it out from here. So I think unless the Dublin footballers suffer the shock defeat of all shock defeats this weekend, I think I probably just have, there's enough road running out at this point that I should be able to just about get over the line. Some breaking news in the last few minutes as well, by the way. At least you've just appointed Seamus Cheddar Plunkett as their new hurling manager literally in the last 30 seconds. So right. I think he was due to take over my club Burr next year. That stalled last weekend, and Cheddar Plunkett is back in now as Laois manager, and he's going to succeed Eddie Brennan, who is a coach at Coola. So the management merry-go-round is going around this morning.
That'll be well received, Will it?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, obviously, Cheddar was extremely popular when he came in, effectively firefighting before, when he was actually on a selection committee and ended up becoming the manager. Such was the lack of interest at the point that Laois had fallen to when Cheddar Plunkett took over. They then had a big win over Offaly in the Leinster Championship. He made Laois very competitive. They were unlucky not to get a qualifier win against Clare. Had a very good performance against Galway under Cheddar Plunkett too. And then he had a kind of a sweeping plan where he wanted to come in and push up standards within Laois. Couldn't find an arrangement with the county board at the time and stepped away three seasons ago. And then Eamon Kelly came in for a season. And since then, Eddie Brennan has come in. I think there's definitely an improvement within the Laois camp in the period since, say, particularly since Eddie Brennan, Niall Corcoran and Tommy Fitzgerald would have taken over 2 years ago, had that big win against Dublin in the championship in the summer of 2019, retained their Division 1 status in the year just gone. They'll be in the Leinster senior next year. And they've got Cheddar, a real kind of beloved hurling man within Laois, back in charge of them for the 2021 season.
Let's have a look at this week's quick picks. We've got Cavan against Dublin and we've got Mayo against Tipperary. So no surprise to anybody that it's four Dublin picks out of four of us, basically, and then Mayo against Tip. Tommy Rooney, you've been flying the flag for Tipperary all year long. You've said that they were going to beat Cork in the Munster final. You were right. You flew the flag wrongly in the hurling, I think, as well at this point. But you're sticking with your blue and yellow colours. Why do you think Tipperary can do it this weekend?
I need them to do it. That's probably one of the reasons. But I do genuinely believe there's a case to be made here for Tipperary. And it's not talking down Mayo. It's probably just giving more kudos to the quality that's in that Tipperary team. They've got a lot of their boys back. We know O'Riordan's back. Stephen O'Brien is back playing with the footballers this year. And he's another monster in the middle of the field. Mayo's strength has always been around the likes of Keegan and O'Shea and O'Connor. But look at the impact that Paddy Durkin has had in the last 18 months, 2 years as a leader. And look at the younger lads that have come through. So obviously Mayo have strengthened a lot. I would say Mayo are probably better than they were in the last time these two met in Northern Ireland semi-final. But back
which
I
Mayo
genuinely
won?
Thought...
How can you possibly use that logic to tip Tipperary?
Because I think Tipperary were very unlucky that day. They got a black card to Robbie Kiley very early on. And I think Tipperary probably showed that they had a bit of class that day. And Tipperary are better than they were back then as well. I think Quinlivan's a better footballer. I think Sweeney's a better footballer. And I think there's a very good chance that Tipperary could upset the odds this weekend. And I also need them to do it. Like, I'm not lying, lads. Don't be back in Tipperary because of what I'm saying here. But there is a good case to be made that they're as strong or stronger in midfield. And if it clicks up front, and if Mayo have a mayor up front, well, then it's going to be Tip's day.
Will basically is Jonathan Walters with the ball at the corner flag, trying to stop anybody getting in here. Tommy, you're going for the juggler here, going in two-footed. Adrian, why are you not going for it? Why are you not going for Cavan and Tip this weekend?
I'm hoping Will is more of a Marvin Fellaini, to be honest with you, but look, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. There's a huge case to be made for Tipperary, isn't there? And like, on the basis of, I tell you my logic on, right, on the basis of like trying to win the competition outright, as we sit here now, I think the best thing, the easiest thing to do, the handiest thing, the most predictable thing is to do what Tommy's doing and go for Tipperary and back against Will. But like, I go on the logic that you have to put out your strongest team until the final weekend of the season, and the coefficient might go against you, so you got to get your strongest team out until the end of the season. That's why I'm going. You got to go with your hunting these things. I think there is obviously a very strong case to be made for Tipperary. Like, nobody's going to be entirely surprised by it. The question we were talking to Louise Galvin about earlier on, are Mayo overhyped? I think they probably are, to be honest. Like, I think that you could look back in 2020 and say they beat Leitrim, a bad, bad Roscommon team, squeeze past Galway and beat Tipperary in semi-final and have suddenly landed themselves in I don't care what way you look at it, it's a handy final, which they'd still end up getting fairly well beaten in, I think. But there's a case to be made for Tipperary here, but I'm going with edging for Mayo.
The only team that haven't had a handy route to this stage really is Cavan, Adrian. If you're going to use that logic, I mean,
like, I don't agree with that all on the basis that like none of us tipped Tipperary to beat Cork, so I don't. Apart from Tommy, yeah.
But if Mayo had the run that Tip had, or they had the run that Dublin had, you would be saying similarly that they're overhyped because they've had an easy run. Like, I mean, with no backdoor, with no super eights, people get to the semi-finals with an easier run because straight to the semi-finals after the provincial. I think beating Roscommon, who are a Division 1 team next year, beating Galway, who are a Division 1 team next year.
No, but Tipperary are in this position that nobody expected them to be in, whereas you kind of expected of Mayo, right?
Like, I just think it's unfair to judge them on the route that they've had. I think that if it had to be two quality sides on the way to an All-Ireland semi-final, coming out of Connacht in any year, beating two Division,
In a typical year on, right, they might end up, in a typical year for Mayo over the last 5 years, they might end up get beaten in a Connacht semi-final, let's say, and you end up playing Galway again, you end up playing Donegal, you end up in a hard semi-final against Tyrone. You can't say it's the same level. You have to say that it would be a handy final if they got there.
Will, why did you avoid the temptation to tip Tipperary?
Yeah, I was watching Declan Brown, the Tipperary legend, on the Super Valley Roadshow last night, and he made a very fair point, which is that this might be Tipperary's best ever opportunity to get to an All-Ireland final, because realistically, you know, Michael Quinlivan is already talking about potentially taking some time out. Colin O'Riordan is going to be back with the Sydney Swans, and this might be this kind of one-off occasion where the best players from their All-Ireland under-21 side are all available at the one time, and this is as strong as Tipperary could be. And the nature of the structure of the championship this year gave them a chance to get to a semi-final after winning a Munster championship in a most unlikely of position at the start of the season. But I just think you look at this Mayo team who have been here and been to this dance so much over the last 10 years. You know, they've been to, I think, 9 different semi-finals over the last 11 seasons. Notwithstanding that their team has had a bit of flux and change and they've been introducing younger players, I think that little bit of experience might count for a lot when they go up against a Tipperary team who, for the best part, some of them would have played in an All-Ireland semi-final previously. But for that Tipperary team, it's going to be a fairly new experience with quite a bit of expectation on them, you would think, on the back of winning the Munster going into that semi-final against Mayo. And I just think that, plus Mayo's superior options on the bench, will be enough to just get them down the track in that semi-final.
Gonna need, is there much expectation, though, lads? Really, like, is there really much expectation? Like, they've done the job. They've broken 80 years and they enjoyed it, like. Like, I'm sure they absolutely believe it within the group, and that's one of the other reasons. I feel like Tipperary got back on track very quickly and they're riding the wave of that Munster final. But I'm not sure there's that much expectation on them. Like, this is Mayo they're playing.
Yeah, they're a massive underdog. I'd agree with you, actually, on that, that there's not a whole pile of pressure. And also, again, to say it for the umpteenth time, the lack of crowd as well would probably take away that sense of occasion, which feeds into the pressure. I'm going to need one very quick answer from all of you here. How many points are Dublin going to be cabined by? Will, we'll start with you.
I think maybe 11.
11. Tommy?
9.
Adrian?
12.
Right, so we're expecting...
What do you say, no?
That's all inside the spread. The spread is 14, isn't it? I think it is. I'm going to go for 14.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for 14 points.
Last word, I may have talked myself into talking Mead up before that.
Yeah, you did.
Final.
You
very much did. You talked yourself into a frenzy.
I may have been off in a few days and got a bit giddy and talked myself into it. And it took me a couple of takes to actually say the words, "I'm tipping Mead," I'll be honest with you. But I genuinely thought that they could get at Dublin. I genuinely thought they could build
you
on
You never
that
believed that
in the previous
Dublin,
year.
Come on.
This is not a thought about the Leinster final.
I genuinely thought they could get at them, and a lot of people thought they could.
Well, like, what does that Dublin mean? You never showed, thought they were going to beat them, though.
Dublin have showed a level of sloppiness sometimes this year, and now they absolutely destroyed Mead. But a big part of that, lads, was the psychological factor of that. Mead, I'm not going to mention the first 3 minutes, but they did one or two good things at the very start, and then they just stopped. And it's like, it wasn't like, it was psychological, lads. Like, Mead's amount of tackles and the amount of hits and the amount of hands they got on Dublin players in that game was horrendous. And it's as if they froze on the pitch in Croke Park. And it was very, very difficult. I don't think Cavan are going to freeze. I think Cavan are going to get the hits in. I don't think they're not going to beat them like they did against Donegal. It's a different pitch. Donegal are a completely different proposition physically. But I do think Cavan will put in a shift and they'll get inside the spread. And I think they'll keep the single digits this weekend.
We will have more Leinster final analysis next week on the Quick Picks. Will, Tommy, thank you very much.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.